Now, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Just the words of a text this evening. Although, if you want to keep the Bibles open, we'll refer to this passage before we're through with the sermon. Perhaps the title in the bulletin was ambiguous. I'm not preaching tonight particularly about making a decision for Jesus Christ, but rather the art of making decisions as a Christian. Verse 21 of chapter 30 of Isaiah. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Father, we pray that you will speak to us tonight through your word. If there's anyone here this evening that is in the valley of decision, whether it be a decision for Jesus Christ, or whether it be a decision for a career, whether it be a decision that must be made in a practical sense on the morrow, we pray that you will give light and give wisdom. Speak to us by your word, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Bible speaks many times of God's people and others coming to the place where a choice must be made, where a decision must be rendered. And it's very interesting that the Bible has a number of ways that across the years of its writing, people were made aware of the will of God. Early on in the history of Israel, the priests had what we can best discern as a pair of sacred stones called the Urim and the Thummim. And we don't know how they used them, but they were used to determine the will of God. Many times in the Bible, it refers to the casting of lots, which we would might put in our own vernacular, the drawing of straws. And we read in the book of Jonah, for example, that Jonah was discerned by such a ritual as this. In the first chapter of Acts, there was a prayer and then a casting of lots, and the apostle Matthias was chosen to take the place of Judas. But really all of these are, it seemed to me, unsatisfactory for today. And there are many times when we as children of God wish I knew the area code for heaven, and I wish I could pick up the telephone and get Jesus himself on the line and just talk to him for 5 minutes so that he could tell me, should I go to the right or should I go to the left? I don't know of anything that has more agony than the need for making a decision. And you know that perhaps the entire rest of your life will be affected by the decision that you make. I remember very well the agony of decision when I was contemplating whether or not to come to this church to pastor. And I tell you, I wouldn't want to go through an agony of decision like that very many times in my life. Every pastor will tell you that about the only thing worse than and not getting a call is getting a call to some place, because then you have to pray through on it. And you have to pray until you know what you want and then go beyond what you want and what you don't want. Let me tell you, making a decision can be an agony, especially when you want to be sure. I found so much help in the prayers of and the advice of Bertha Monroe, who said, if you'll pray through, the Lord will keep you from making the great mistake. How is it that we can come to the place where we can say, well, I'll go to the right or I'll go to the left, and begin to go with some degree of confidence, this is the will of the Lord? I'm always perturbed when people can lightly say, the Lord told me this, or this is God's will. Especially when they tell me God's will for me. Something down inside of me rebels when somebody else tells me what God wants me to do. For I feel that I have a right to have direct communications with the Lord. And you do too. And I believe if we want to know God's will in the decisions of life, it's possible for us to find His will. There are times, however, when we simply cannot know God's will. For the sake of time, I'll just briefly outline two such times. When we are walking in disobedience, and when we are doing what we know now is not God's will for us, we have no right to come to the place of prayer and ask God to give us guidance further. Some of the saddest words in the Bible are found in 1 Samuel 28:15, or the man who had been chosen by God, the man who stood head and shoulders physically above all his brothers, the man who had started out to be the great king, now is in a witch's tent at the fortune teller's, getting somebody to read his horoscope. And his testimony is, God has departed from me and answers me no more. And it's a sad thing, but it's a true thing, that we can't expect God to direct us in the decisions of life. We have no right to come to Him and ask Him to show us what His will is if we are walking in open disobedience to His will. God, in His mercy and in His grace, does answer the prayer of sinners often. He hears the prayers from the foxhole, as He did Brother Mac's prayer over in France before He saved him. But God is not bound to give guidance when we are walking in disobedience. But the Bible also speaks of the fact that sometimes God's people are in what is termed the dark night of the soul. The entire book of Job is a drama that we can see the overview. We can see what's going on in heaven as well as what's going on earth. And sometimes, because of the permissive will of God, for a season, we can be shut into a dark night. And when we search our hearts and know that we are God's child, when we wait before the Lord and know that everything that we've ever done that's wrong, we have confessed to Him, and we, by faith, are His children, then for a time we may have to prove to God. And I don't think Job was the only one that proved to three worlds. There may be a time in each of our lives when we have a Job experience. And Job proved that he loved and served God simply because He was God and because he trusted Him. And he said, He knoweth the way that I take. And when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. And I would encourage you this evening, if as you search your heart, you find no condemnation, no guilt, for the Holy Spirit is faithful. He'll show us where we stand with the Lord. And if there's no unconfessed sin, and it seems as though darkness is your lot, hold steady. Remember Job. Read the book of Job and be encouraged, for the darkness will not last forever. There are times when we simply cannot know God's will, and then's the time for us to praise the Lord and to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord and to believe that God will not permit us to be damaged by waiting. God's timing is right. And if we don't know what to do, the thing to do is precisely nothing except to stand still and to praise the Lord. But most of the time, we can find God's leadership. I have here about five things that help us in the seeking of the will of the Lord. We can find God's leadership unless we happen to be in the dark night of the soul. But we must want God's will, and want to know it in order to do it. It isn't enough just to be curious, what does God want me to do? But when, along with the desire of knowing what God's will is, there is the commitment, you show me what you want me to do, and I will do it. You'll be surprised how God will open his will to your heart. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. And this applies for guidance as well. What does God want me to do? Let him show me and I'll think about it and we'll take a vote. But God doesn't work that way. And if we really want to know God's will in order to do it, chances are God will reveal his will. Then number two, we must always search God's word about the matter. God's will for an individual never, never contradicts the written word of God. He just does not make exceptions to what he has said. Thou shalt not. And if what you think you want to do is clearly forbidden or clearly admonished that you do in the word of God, you don't need to ask anymore. You don't need a feeling. You don't need a guidance. If it's in the word, it's clear. And you need to do it. Number three, we need to consider how it will affect our relationships. Our master relationship toward God. And then also our relationship to others. God never calls us to abandon God-given responsibility. I've had people who had families who came to me and said, Pastor, I believe God is calling me to such and such a responsibility that would mean that somebody else would have to take over the responsibility of parent. I didn't have to pray very long to give them some good pastor advice. Your number one responsibility is the lives that God has given to you. And God never makes our responsibilities contradict each the other. And then the fourth thing, we need not to rush into decisions that are going to be life-changing. You have a bargain that's going to go away next Tuesday and you have to make up your mind, just forget about it. Because the devil's the pusher. But Jesus leads and loves and guides. Remember, Jesus is a shepherd. He's not a bulldog and cowboy. And he's not going to get you around the neck and twist you down and say, this is the way to go. He doesn't operate that way. He's persistent. True, he's the hound of heaven. And once his will is stated, he never, never, never will change that will. But he's the shepherd. And when you're being pressured and pushed, I must do this. And it's questionable. Remember, God does not push. Jesus leads and loves. And then usually, as in your mind, you make the decision, I'll do this. Usually there's a clean-cut sense of relief when the decision's made. It's something like saying, this is good. This is right. This is fit. Most of the time we can find God's leadership. The matter of fact is, very often, as we are in the valley of decision, there are times when we already know God's will. A lot of times we are praying for the decision that is two steps or three steps away. And God just doesn't always show us what we're going to do two steps away. Very often we are praying, what is your will? And we're looking down the road and there is something already that God wants us to do. Decisions often come very quickly when we're prayed up. Life goes by, doesn't it? When we're prayed up, when God has been dealing with our hearts, very often decisions come very quickly. I think of the example of Nehemiah, who had been praying over the sad situation in Jerusalem. His heart had been burdened. And in just the space of less than a minute, perhaps, when the king said, "Why is your face sad?" he said, "So I prayed and so I said." He shot up a prayer and he made a decision in a split second that changed the course of his life, put him in the Bible. Immediately he was off on the adventure of his life. Nehemiah went to build the wall. And it may be that God, in a moment, in a service, even such as this tonight, could make clear his will for your life if you're prayed up, if you're ready. Somehow those pickets just open up and you can see clear down and see what God's will is for your life. Here comes another fire truck. Trust and pray nobody's being burned out. Hope it's a false alarm. One thing we need to see, as we've said right from the outset, God's will is always plain concerning our personal salvation. God is always willing that we should come to Him for salvation. God is always willing that His children be sanctified wholly. God is always willing that misunderstandings be cleared up between His children instead of being carried about and festering in our hearts and lives. Very often the reason that we can't get a clear sense of direction from God is because we may have something against our brother. Or our brother may have something against us. And Jesus has given us a clear formula. When our hearts are clear, our conscience is void of offense toward God and toward men, it's amazing then how God can make His impression upon us. It seems to me the closer we draw to the Lord, the more sensitive our spirit may become, and we need to be careful of the impressions that we let be stamped upon the image of our minds. Many of the things that we see on the television screen, many of the things we hear that aren't necessarily of themselves out and out evil and vile, perhaps fill up space that desensitize us to the will of God. I tell you, I covet a praying core in the church of people that are developing an ear that's sensitive to the leadings, to the will of Almighty God. What do you think could happen if the churches of New England had a praying group of people that said, "Oh God, show us your will, show us your mind," and then we're sensitive to what God would have us to do? But until we act upon what we do know of God's will, we may not expect God to show us what we do not know. The future's locked up to the rebel, but to the obedient we have this great promise. "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way." And the stronger will we have, or the more we want something, the more we need to be certain that we've submitted that will to God, and that we've submitted that desire to the loving will of a God who knows and loves us better than we can know and love ourselves. Our decisions will make us or break us. But if we really want to know what God wants us to do, I believe we can know. We don't dare dictate what God will say to us. In this same chapter, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah complains, "This is a rebellious people." Or God complains through Isaiah, "Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, give us what we want to hear." And as long as you tell God what you want to hear, you never will hear the voice behind you saying, "This is the way." Then he goes on to say, "In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." when we've done all that we know God's will for us may be, then we can expect His help for the next step. But there's one thing that God wants you to do. You can't expect His help in what you don't know. Only you can answer the question this evening, are you clear in your conscience? Are you void of offense toward God? And how about that relationship with man? Have you been talking about people this week? Have you been careless in your relationship with people this week? What has that got to do with whether or not I can know God's will? It has everything to do. May the Lord cleanse our conscience. Help us to know His will. Shall we pray? How many times, Lord, we've come to the fork in the road. And the question is not, shall I do God's will? But the question has been, what is God's will? Lord, we pray that You will help us to have a simple faith. Help us to do all that we know to do. Then we claim this promise, thine ears shall hear the word behind thee. This is the way, walk ye in it. Give us that guidance forever, we pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask that we close tonight by singing number 241. Number 241. Let Him have His way with thee. As we sing this evening, if you have a particular need, a spiritual need, if you'd like to give your heart to the Lord, if you're a child of God and you haven't made that full and complete surrender to His will, or if you're wrestling with a big problem tonight and you want to take the first step toward knowing God's will, the altar's open, whatever your need is, shall we stand together and sing the three verses of number 241.